And now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun, informative green talk radio show featuring guests from all over the country talking about how living green can be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website at www.MrsGreenGoesMainstream.com for more information about her guests.
Hello, Tucson. Hello, world. Happy Saturday. If you're not here in Tucson and you're listening, it's getting cold again, and we're loving it. 80 today and gone tomorrow is all I can tell you. It might be snowing out there for all I know. This is News Talk 790 KNST. I am Mrs. Green, Tucson, and the world's all green talk radio show where we make sustainability a fun and informative topic. My guest today is one that I have truly been working on for months, or I should say Kelly, my assistant, has been working on for months. Let's give credit where credit is due. His name is Jeffrey Smith. He is the author of this book, Seeds of Deception. He is a world-renowned and well-respected expert on genetically modified foods, a subject about which I have become somewhat fanatical. He's an independent filmmaker, and he's the executive director of the Institute for Responsible Technology. Imagine that, responsible technology. So basically, he has no spare time, but he is taking the time out of his Saturday to call in today from up north. And also in studio is a very dear friend of mine who's been a guru for me, major impact on my life. Her name is Tori Ligon. She is from the Food Conspiracy on 4th Avenue, and she could probably write her own book on genetically modified food. So do you want to say hi, Tori?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me on, Mrs. Green.
And thanks for being a mentor for me. I really do appreciate it. I turn to Tori for a lot. She's a chicken coop nut, too, and that's really good. She has chicken coop tours. If you have questions today, I want to keep saying this. Please call in. We love your questions. We love your comments. 520-880-5678. And as I said, we love to hear from you. Chapman, my sponsor. Boy, the FTC is coming down on Facebook and Twitter and blah, blah, blah. But if you don't know my sponsors, Chapman's one of my sponsors, you don't listen to me because they are. Full disclosure. They hosted a wonderful event yesterday at Business Clubs of America, and I got to hear Vince Lombardi Jr. speak. And what a message and what a man of honesty, integrity, authenticity. It was a really great day. And I want to say thank you to Chapman for being such a good steward of the community by supporting these kind of events and for your support of Mrs. Green. I said to Neb Yonis yesterday, you give me the opportunity and ability to be the whirling green dervish that I am by your support of Mrs. Green and all that we're doing. And I did check out that new Audi diesel. It is beautiful and it is awesome. It was the one that was on the Green Police commercial on the Super Bowl. And I'm telling you, I'm lobbying right here. I can tell you right that. And then my lead foot, my report card on Mrs. Green driving her on to Insight. Guess what? I'm getting better. It went into the next zone. So this Honda Insight, it's a hybrid, and it really takes some getting used to. I never realized what a lead foot I had. Mr. Green, however, had years ago. But that's all behind me now. I'm a better, safer driver, and I'm going a little bit slower, and it drives me nuts to save that 5 seconds to get to the red light sooner. So anyway, I was the MC at the event yesterday, which I loved, obviously. Just give me a microphone. And once again, I got a chance to recognize Bruce Dusenberry, who's a very dear friend of ours, but he was selected as Tucson's Man of the Year. And if you don't know it, Bruce is the owner of Horizon Moving Systems, and he is a good friend and supporter of Mrs. Green. So no opportunity missed to give him another shout out. He's very deserving. And again, here, full disclosure, Skincare at Savano, they are located on the east side. They are award-winning. They use award-winning skincare. They use organic, non-toxic products by Eminence. I have said on the show that you could probably eat their products. I haven't tried it yet because I don't really want to eat skin cream. But their treatment is good for the skin, healing for the mind and body. And please visit skincareatsavano.com to see their monthly specials. And especially given the topic we're going to have on today, what you put on your skin is very important, just like what you're feeding yourself. Okay, save the date for Tucson Festival of Books, March 13th. Mrs. Green will be doing a live remote there. It's certainly something that Tucson should be really proud of. And again, because of Elastec, I have a sponsorship to be there. I'm moderating a panel, three unbelievable authors on sustainability topics. I can't wait to interview them and to moderate this panel and make more connections. Lots of book signings going on. I don't know if you remember Jane Pointner. She was in Biosphere. She told us everything we ever wanted to know about what went on in the Biosphere, and I'm sure did not do full disclosure. But she has a new book out called Champions for Change. And she's doing a book signing today at Bookman's at the Speedway location. And if you can make it, make sure it's till 1 o'clock. And if you go, just make sure you keep my show on the radio because I want you to not turn on, you know, turn off the show. But she's another person that I will have back on the show. She's going to be joining me on Earth Day for Biosphere 2, the celebration for Earth Day that they're going to have there. And I'm excited about that. So she's an amazing person. And now she's written a book and she is part of Paragon. So check out her book, Champions for Change. And then there's another person that's written a book. I'm sure most of you have heard of Rodney Glassman, and he's doing Jeremy Jackrabbit. He and his wife have written a book, and they're having a book signing. And I think the date is May 3rd. I have it here in my myriad of papers, which, of course, are all recycled. Saturday, March 6th from 11:30 to 1 at the Loft on Speedway, 3233. So, and the book is about water harvesting, rainwater harvesting. And one of the things that I really liked, which is why I was willing to talk about it on the show, is all of the proceeds from it are going to go to local schools. And they're donating all of the money, and I think that's really awesome. It was a collaborative effort, and I love that they're going to do that. And I forget where they had a lot of community support that helped sponsor the book, and they'll be doing a book signing and having a fun event. And I forget why I can't go, but I can't, because I'll be doing my show live from here, I think. We were supposed to have a call-in from Tyson, who is doing the Driven Drive to Sustain, Driven to Sustain, to put the world record for driving the most miles on vegetable oil for the Guinness Book of World Records. I do not know what happened. I know that Colleen Crowninshield confirmed that with me yesterday, and maybe she's listening and she's going to call me in and tell me what he was going to say. But remember, it's Driven to Sustain, and he and his girlfriend Chloe are driving all around the country to create the Guinness Book of World Records, and they go to restaurants and get vegetable oil for their vehicle, which was really cool. I went out to Bookman's to see it, and where in the world is Tyson Jerry? I really do not know. So, Tori, talk a little bit. No, we've got Tori in studio. I can, believe me, I've got a microphone. We can do this. We can do this. The first thing I want to say, and it's really out of sequence, but we can talk about it in sequence, is that is the food conspiracy the only place in Tucson and maybe the world where every single food has a disclosure label about genetic modification?
Well, that's sort of a complicated question, but
that's okay.
Back in the 90s, the food conspiracy endeavored to label every product in the store with its potential contamination with genetically modified organisms. And at the time, it was a pretty new idea, maybe one of the first or even the first retail stores to do it. Since then, it's come out from a number of different sources that it's actually pretty impossible to label genetically modified organisms on the retail level. Foods need to be independently tested on a molecular genetic level to make sure that there's no contamination, because these days even organic agriculture has been shown to be contaminated by various genetically modified seed stocks. So now there's sort of a new direction. There's a great organization called the Non-GMO Project.
Right, and I have interviewed them on the show because of you.
And they have started working with hundreds of different manufacturers who are now independently choosing to have their products tested for contamination. So the best way for a consumer to avoid genetically modified organisms is, of course, organic agriculture. But this is a long way to say that I would not guarantee anymore that our store is free of genetically modified organisms, but we do try our best to keep them off our shelves and to label them when possible.
And I guess I always like to live in the realm of possibility, Pollyanna, somewhere over the rainbow, because to me, there was proof that there was an effort by the people to put in how many carbohydrates, how much sugar, how much this, how much that. So I have hope that there could be a subsection underneath it someday that we can just look and take a look. And you and I were talking when you first got here, to live in a genetically modified free world is not possible. We can't. There's no non-GMO world anymore, but we can do degrees. So, see, we filled that spot really quickly. And there's more to come. Just stay tuned. Our guest today calling in is Jeffrey Smith, author of Seeds of Deception. And if you believe you are what you eat, you're going to find out what we're eating. So stay tuned. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, KNST. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Saturday. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, KNST, the voice of green to the world, where we make sustainability a fun and informative topic. And I promise you, open your minds. You will be informed today. And as I said when I went out, we really are what we eat. My mother used to tell me that all the time. So basically, I'm chocolate, but I'm now non-genetically modified or organic chocolate. Our guest today is someone whose book was life-altering for me, and that is not being a drama queen, even though I'm a self-professed drama queen. The name of the book is Seeds of Deception. It was given to me by my friend Georgianne Casey, who is married to a doctor here in town. And Jeffrey is truly a world-renowned and well-respected expert on genetically modified foods. He's an independent filmmaker. He's the executive director of the Institute for Responsible Technology. And as I said before, basically, he has no spare time, and sleep is probably annoying to him like it is for me, because there's really a lot to be done. And Jeffrey, welcome, and thank you so much for calling in and for what you're doing to make the world a better place.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just get started, because I have so many questions and I don't want this to be about me at all. We have a very good friend of mine, Tori Legan, from the Food Conspiracy Food Co-op here in Tucson, who is a mentor to me and has educated me a lot. So she might be chiming in from time to time. But let's start with the basics and tell everyone, what is a GMO?
Well, genetically modified organisms are plants, animals, some type of living item that has DNA, where you take genes from one species and force them into the DNA of another species. So for animals, you could take spider genes, and they have, and put them into goats in the hope that they can milk the goats to get spider web protein to make bulletproof vests. Sounds like science fiction, but it's actually happening. And they put bacterial and viral genes into the food supply so that the crops, like soy and corn and cotton and canola, either drink poison or produce poison. The poison drinkers are those that can be sprayed with a poisonous herbicide and not die. The poison producers produce their own insect-killing pesticide. So basically it's for farmers' use. There's no consumer benefits, but the whole process creates unexpected side effects, which are quite dangerous.
I remember reading something, and I am going to stay on point, but I remember reading something about a seed that Monsanto sells, and I'd like to do a whole section of the show on Monsanto, one of my new BFFs, my best friends forever. I said, how happy can we be if we're eating things from a seed called Roundup? That does not make me sleep well at night, and that's what you're talking about.
Roundup-ready crops are designed not to die when sprayed with Monsanto's Roundup herbicide.
Right, the killer, now, the deadly killer.
Monsanto's been telling the world that their herbicide is safe and biodegradable and non-toxic, and it's complete lies, and we know it. In fact, a court in France, the highest court, just upheld a case in France, as a New York court had already done before, where Monsanto was lying about the biodegradability. But most importantly, it's even in very, very tiny amounts, it may create birth defects and other serious problems. And when scientists discover those problems, as they discover with GMOs, they're typically treated in a very hostile fashion, sometimes fired from their job, sometimes threatened, etc. And that's happened with people that discover the damage to, for example, animals that have been treated with very tiny amounts of the Roundup herbicide.
And I would love you to tell us, first of all, how you got interested in this topic, and then it's a perfect segue for what you just mentioned, because I was showing Tori your book, and it's dog-eared for me for reading it in little pink stickies and exclamation points and underlining it. But I, once you tell us how you got interested and involved and committed to it basically for your life, share with us the story of, and I hope I get his name right, but is it Arpad Pusztik?
Pusztai, yes. Well, what happened was, for me, before I ever heard of Arpad Pusztai, I was in 1996, and a scientist gave a lecture about the dangers of the genetically engineered foods they were about to plant throughout my state in Iowa and around the country. And I realized how huge and unprecedented this danger was. Never before had we fed the products of this infant science to the entire population with virtually no safety studies. Never before have we created these new organisms and released them into the environment where they could never be recalled fully. And so this was an unprecedented risk to every human being on Earth and the entire ecosystem and all humans for the future generations. And so no one knew about it. It was completely
Nobody told us.
It was completely stealth. So I realized people need to hear about this, and I was looking around realizing I was talking to myself.
So I resemble that remark.
Yes, I it's a very common thing when you want to get up and say, people need to do something, and then you look in the mirror and go, oh, I guess it's me. So I was compelled to start interviewing that scientist and translating scientific ease to easy-to-understand words. And I started writing about it and lecturing about it and actually helped some candidates and ran for office just to get the public awareness about it. And then I worked at a GMO detection laboratory for a couple of years, and I was reading some of the books about GMO, and they were kind of just not actually connecting with the average person. They were kind of boring. They were kind of just a little bit stiff. And there was such great material out there because of Monsanto and the FDA and the collusion and the fired scientists and the threats that have been going on and the threats to media and the muzzled media and all this stuff. So I decided to write a book called Seeds of Deception, which was all about the dark side. You know, I wanted to talk about the health dangers because I thought that's most important to get people to stop eating it, to get it to take it off the market. But I did it by weaving the health dangers into stories like about Arpad Pusztai, who you mentioned, one of the world's top scientists in his field, the top scientist in his field, given $3 million by the UK government to figure out how to do safety testing of genetically modified foods. So as part of that process, he put a harmless genetically modified potato through the safety protocol research with rats, and the rats had massive health damage in just 10 days. And he discovered that it was the generic process of genetic engineering that caused the problem. And when he went public with his concerns, he was fired from his job after 35 years, silenced with threats of a lawsuit, and they never implemented his research protocols.
And I was sitting reading your book, and you really are someone quoted in the back of your book that you are a master storyteller. And for somebody like me that is not a scientist, that does not have that background, I couldn't have read your book if you weren't telling those stories that touched my heart and opened my mind, because that's the way to my mind is through my heart. And what made me sad is I'm sitting there. He was so absolutely shocked. He worked for this company for 37 years or 35 years, what I would call a loyal employee in the old paradigm. And he was dumbfounded. He's like, I can't believe that I want to tell the truth, which they gave me the money to do, and I got fired.
Not only was he fired, but they put out a program to
right.
destroy his reputation
right.
in order to protect the reputation of biotechnology. You know, I've become friends with Arpad over the years, and he's in his late 70s now, and I asked him, in preparation for writing that first chapter in Seeds of Deception, what was your most shocking moment? And I expected it to be the moment he was fired or the moment discovering that the rats were so damaged from a supposedly harmless genetically modified food. It was neither of those. It was actually months earlier when he was still a pro-GMO scientist in good standing at the Institute, and the director came into his office and he said, he was supposed to read it to give the Minister of Agriculture a scientific briefing about them. And when he read them, he said that was the most shocking moment.
Okay,
I was doing safety studies. They were doing as little as possible, get their dangerous foods on the market as quickly as possible. So that was his turning point.
And that's just, you know, to me, okay, I remember reading so much about this in the book. That part wasn't in there. But anyway, we have to go to a break. Oh, we don't. Andy's saying no. I got my signals mixed here. So what is he doing now? Like, I'm reading there and I'm thinking, this is like my dad, even though he's not old enough to be my dad. This is a man that was devastated, and I ended up really caring about him. So what is he doing now?
Well, he ended up being contracted by various people to do continuing evaluations of GMO research. He was hired by the German government to review one research study by Monsanto and found that there was clear signs of toxicity. The government didn't want to hear it, so they got someone else to say that it was safe. He's been commissioned to do books. More recently, he had a stroke, and so he's not active right now. He's more in recovery mode, but he lives in Hungary now with his wife, who is also a scientist and a professor at a university.
And he was in Scotland when this happened, right?
Exactly.
Am I right? Okay. So he went on, and people actually stepped up and hired him to tell the truth, to keep telling the truth.
And he's traveled all over the world. I've been with him in Malaysia and in Croatia and in Bonn and in Berlin. And yeah, he's making the rounds. They picked the wrong guy. He was a man of such integrity. He just couldn't think of. He just, the idea of bowing to corporate pressure and staying silent about what he knew, that was the whole thing. He discovered that the crops that were already on the market, the ones that you and I, well, hopefully don't eat, may be causing what happened to his rats in just 10 days, which was potentially precancerous cell growth, smaller brains, livers, and testicles, partial atrophy of the liver, damaged immune system, and all sorts of problems.
Oh, unbelievable. Okay, so on that up note, we're going to now go to a quick break. We will be back. I have many, many more questions. I want to talk a little bit about hot potatoes and get back to basics about what I'm eating and what I shouldn't be. Stay tuned. Jeffrey Smith, Seeds of Deception, News Talk 790 KNST. We will be right back.
Wanted. Your thoughts, your opinions.
I think you nailed it on the head.
This is where your voice counts.
I was just calling to let you know.
I think the problem is.
Where did these people get off?
News Talk 790. KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. This is News Talk 790 KNST. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, the voice of green for the world. And today we have a world-renowned and well-respected author, filmmaker, lecturer, founder of the Institute for Responsible Technology, Jeffrey Smith. His book, Seeds of Deception, changed my life. Welcome back, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Okay, so I really like the show to be fun and informative, but in this particular case, let's just cut to it. How bad are we on GMOs? What are we eating that's genetically modified? Is there anything we're eating that's not? What are some recent developments? That's only about five questions.
Okay. Well, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine last year said every doctor should prescribe non-GMO diets to every patient. They said the animal feeding studies on GMOs show a causal relationship with disorders and diseases like immune system problems, infertility, accelerated aging, dysfunctional regulation of insulin and cholesterol, vital organ damage, and gastrointestinal problems. In one study, how bad is it? Well, they fed genetically modified soy, the same soy flour that you'd buy in the market, to rats, and more than half of their babies died within 3 weeks. Then they fed it to male rats, and their testicles changed color from pink to blue, to mice, and their testicles changed so that their young sperm cells were different, and the offspring DNA looked different. In fact, the offspring of the rats that were fed GM soy were smaller and could not reproduce. It could be responsible for the escalating diseases in the United States since they were introduced in 1996. In fact, in 1996, 7% of Americans had three or more chronic illnesses within 9 years of eating GMOs. That was up to 13%. Food-related allergies doubled in less time, and there's all sorts of other ailments that are on the rise. So it could be the worst thing to happen to our health and our diet in human history, and it's something that we should be paying a lot of attention to individually and collectively.
So here's go ahead.
No, I'm ready for you.
here's what made me angry in the book is that you read about FDA trials, and it takes this drug that's, you know, working miracles in France or England is still going through testing here and being held up. And then the EPA officially classified some of these genetically these pesticides as toxins. They said they are toxins, they're a pesticide. And then the FDA said the GMO crops were safe and let millions of acres of genetically modified foods to be planted, sold, and eaten without prior testing. How does that happen in America? I'm a great American. How does it happen?
Well, in one word, Monsanto.
Oh.
You see, Monsanto is the company that has the vast amount of genetically modified crops. There's only 8 crops, and we'll mention them in a minute, but the vast amount of acreage is Monsanto's patented crops. And they convinced the White House under the first George Bush administration that GMOs were going to improve U.S. exports and save U.S. industry. Of course, the opposite happened, and we lost tons of exports, and it was spent $3 to $5 billion extra per year. But nonetheless, they convinced them, and so they decided to tell. They instructed the FDA and the EPA to promote the biotechnology industry. So the FDA responded by hiring Monsanto's former attorney to be in charge of policy. Michael Taylor. And when he was in charge, the policy came out saying, we don't know it. We don't see any difference between GMOs and non-GMOs. It's substantial. So we'll just treat them like other foods. Companies can determine if they're safe and can introduce them without even telling the FDA no testing is required. Well, the concept that they didn't know anything, that there was difference, was a complete lie, because documents made public from a lawsuit 7 years later show that the overwhelming consensus among the scientists at the FDA were that GMOs were inherently dangerous.
It wasn't even controversial. I mean, it wasn't even controversial. Like you said, everybody agreed. But
everyone. It was like you can list exactly what they said. New toxins, higher levels of existing toxins, bioaccumulation of toxins from the environment, hard-to-detect allergies, new diseases, memos between them, angry memos to their superiors, all ignored. And now we're in a situation where there's basically a facade, a voluntary consultation process with the FDA, which is technically known as a meaningless exercise. And the crops are put on the market, tested by Monsanto and others that have been fined and convicted in the past of lying about the toxicity of their other products. Now they're in charge of determining the toxicity of the food that we eat. Now, Michael Taylor, after working at Monsanto, I've been working at the FDA, became Monsanto's vice president, and then the Obama administration put him in as the U.S. food safety czar.
That's what I was saying to Tori off air, that this is not a political issue, folks. You can't blame the Republicans or the Democrats. You can blame all of the above. Nobody really in administrative politics, in their leadership roles, are putting this at the front of their agenda, and it's what we eat every single day.
Fortunately, though, we don't have to engage them in order to eliminate GMOs.
Okay, so tell us about that.
It's something that can be market-driven out of the market. It happened in Europe when Arpad Pusztai, we talked about him earlier,
right,
when he was ungagged and was able to speak to the press. It all broke loose in EU. 750 articles were written in a month. Within 10 weeks, the tipping point of consumer rejection was achieved, and virtually every major food company committed within a single week to stop using GM ingredients.
So we're not powerless. And there are examples of this. When they stopped taking, when mothers really went to the streets and said, I don't want milk with hormone-injected cow milk in my kid's milk. Now there's organic milk, so there's hormone-free milk, so we can do it.
Walmart kicked the LBGH bovine growth hormone out of their store brand milk. Starbucks kicked it out of theirs, Danone, Yoplait, and that's a genetically engineered drug. So even in the United States, we can hit a tipping point by understanding the health dangers. But the key here is people have to know how to avoid GMOs. And you asked that earlier, and I think I'll answer it before we break, because otherwise you're going to get a lot of calls. The question is, which products are genetically modified, and how do we know? So we've solved that problem. If you go to non-GMOshoppingguide.com, shopnogmo.com.
Okay.
Or if you have an iPhone, you can go to the iPhone store and get ShopNoGMO. And that will tell you which brands are not genetically engineered, and it'll tell you which derivatives in the long list of ingredients may come from modified foods, which are soy, corn, cotton, which is used for cottonseed oil, canola, sugar beets, which is in the sugar supply in the United States, papaya, but from only from Hawaii, and a little bit of zucchini and yellow squash. There used to be potatoes on the market, used to be tomatoes on the market, no longer. And nothing that's not on the list that I just said is currently out there as a genetically engineered food crop. So that's the short list, but unfortunately soy and corn derivatives are practically omnipresent. And I would say between soy, corn, cotton, canola, and sugar, it's probably 9 out of 10 processed, packaged foods. There are plenty out there that you can change your brands to for yourself and your family, and that will drive the tipping point. So we don't have to be meticulous the rest of our lives, just long enough to create the tipping point.
And the tipping point, I mean, another one of my favorite books, actually. I loved that book. I love that book, and I love the book Tribes, because that's what we're trying to do, is get these tribes bigger. So when we come back, I really would like to talk a little bit more about Monsanto, and then if you could actually name some of the products, talk about that website again. I visited it this morning, and I want to talk to you actually a little bit about the social media aspect of this and spreading the word and how you're availing yourself to that. So we'll be right back. We're talking to Jeffrey Smith, from the author of Seeds of Deception, Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. Stay tuned. More recent developments. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. Keeping you informed about great green things happening in our world. And today is such a blessing for me. And even though I don't like hearing some of what Jeffrey has had to say, the truth shall set us free. Jeffrey, can we start with off-air? Tori and I were talking about what's going on with the proposed GMO to alfalfa. And what the connection was for me, we're all part of one food chain, whether we want to connect the dots ourselves or not. But if I buy organic beef and they're going to start eating genetically modified alfalfa, that's not very good for me.
No, it's not. In fact, this is a big issue. Monsanto introduced genetically modified alfalfa a few years ago, and the Center for Food Safety and some other organizations filed a lawsuit in federal court and won. So Monsanto had to stop selling the alfalfa because they didn't do a proper impact study.
Shocking.
No, yeah, of course. They don't do impact
studies.
So what's happened is, first, the USDA did an impact study, which was ridiculous. It basically disregarded any problems with what you just said, with organic cows and bulls and others eating alfalfa, disregarded the economic impacts on for contamination, completely was a sham, probably written by Monsanto. And so there's a comment period, and you go to the Center for Food Safety's website, Google Center for Food Safety, and then once you're on there, one of the prominent action alerts is to put in a comment and join the people around the country that need to be saying to the USDA, no, we are concerned, this is a problem, don't ignore me. Otherwise, it can open the door for a lot of other crops approved without any real safety net. So it's a very important action alert, one of the biggest maybe in a year or two for anyone to do. So go to Center for Food Safety for that.
And the thing that I realized with since the birth, if you want to call it, of Mrs. Green, is that there are absolutely unbelievably outstanding messages of hope. Your book is one example of that. The popularity of Food Inc. is another. Tori hosted and helped sponsor The World According to Monsanto coming here. And Jeffrey, it was packed before the 15 minutes before the show was supposed to start. They turned away several hundred people, and then they had to bring it back because
Wow. So
many people wanted to see it. And I am telling you, every demographic, rich, poor, white, black, you know, you name it. It was not a tree-hugging Birkenstock. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was not that. It was the demographic of America, a representative slice. And Food Inc., I was mad at Tori for about a week for telling me that I had to watch it. But I think that what your message is, if you go to the Center for Food Safety, our voice can still be heard, and we have to do things like that.
I would also recommend going to our site, which is responsibletechnology.org, which is for our Institute for Responsible Technology. And right in front of you when you get there, there's two videos to look at. One's 3 minutes and one's 84 minutes. Now, the 3 minutes basically says what we can do. It describes the tipping point, and then you click on the Take Action link, and there's all sorts of tools there. There's books, DVDs, CDs, free reports, free brochures. But the 84-minute video, if you've got the time, I'm speaking to 1,000 people. That's a videotape of me giving a PowerPoint presentation. And it gives the full, broad understanding of just how bad GMOs are. Thousands of sick, sterile, and dead livestock. Thousands of toxic and allergic reactions in humans. Damage to virtually every organ and every system studied. But it shows the way out. It shows how simple it will be for just a small percentage of U.S. population, maybe 5% of shoppers, avoiding GM ingredients, and we can create a tipping point here and get rid of it in the United States and start the domino effect to get rid of it out of the world, out of the entire world's food supply. So it's not something that I would recommend delaying, because we have an urgent situation, and we're in a pretty critical time right now, because this is the year where the industry is expecting to see or not see an uprising of awareness. Supermarket News mentioned that our shopping guide website was one of the main reasons why 2010 will see an uprise of consumer awareness concerned about GMOs. And in fact, in 2009, the fastest growing label for store brands was GMO-free, and we had something to do with that as well. So it's time now, and I urge people to get involved.
Well, I'm going to kind of chime in here a little bit, because I've become just a junkie on studying the phenomenon of social media. And I don't know what you're doing, but I know that my friend Scott called me this morning, and he took a webinar on social media, and he said that YouTube has become the second largest search engine by topic. So do you have anything on YouTube? People are going to YouTube to see what's going on. Is it on there?
Absolutely. You go to YouTube and just enter Jeffrey Smith, and you'll see a bunch of interviews that I have there. I'm also the 84-minute one is, you have to break it up into groups of 10, so it's easier to watch on our site. Goes to Vimeo. So, and we absolutely want our planning. We are using social media to some extent, but we actually have a very serious funding problem in our institute. And when we can get past that and get some funds, we want to put some people in place to full-time do the social media networking education program that this topic deserves.
Yeah, and you're right. It takes time. I mean, I will do my part, and I have a growing tribe. I have people, like 2,600 people on my newsletter. Well, I always say if they tell 10 people, we're at 26,000. And that's
right.
All they have to do, and post it on their Facebook. I will put all of this information on my Mrs. Green fan page and on my blog, which I'm growing that tribe too. And I just, the message of hope that you give is get involved. Is that a fair thing to say? ResponsibleTechnology.org, is that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'd say the first thing is avoid GMOs to protect yourself. I mean, we haven't even talked about the fact that eating a genetically modified corn chip might turn your intestinal bacteria into living pesticide factories, possibly for the rest of your life. We haven't talked about the fact that animals, when given a choice, avoid eating GMOs. We haven't talked about the thousands of people getting rashes all over their bodies from touching certain genetically modified plants that we then eat. We only had a chance to touch the surface, but I think it's easy enough to motivate ourselves to avoid eating GMOs, and then based on our concern for ourselves and our family and our compassion for the world, it's natural that we want to share with other people. So we put together the package of materials, so it's click and send and share and give this away, et cetera, so it's very easy for people to get involved.
Well, I have so much respect for you. I appreciate your coming on the show. I will love to have you back. We'll definitely set that up, because we could do another hour just today. And what blows me away is that you've been doing this for quite a while, and you are so enthusiastic and passionate and still committed to making a change. And I have the utmost respect for you. There's a non-GMO or GMO-free project here in Tucson that started because this woman named Masha heard you speak, and she started that here in Tucson. So we are part of your tribe, and thank you so much for taking the time on this Saturday to share with us what you know and your passion, and then solutions.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
we'll
you so
do
much.
ResponsibleTechnology.org, Center for Food Safety, People Have to Vote. And then what was the other one I looked at, the Good Food Guide or the GMO Food Guide?
Non-GMO Shopping Guide.
Non-GMO Shopping Guide. Okay, that, and there is hope, and everything we eat doesn't have to be genetically modified. So Just my hats off to you, my utmost respect for what you're doing, and we'll definitely stay in touch.
Thank you so much.
Okay. You've been listening to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. What an honor it was to have Jeffrey Smith, author of Seeds of Deception, my green tip of the day, buy, rent, borrow, or check out from your local library, Seeds of Deception by Jeffrey Smith. You'll thank me. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay out of the rain.